How would you like to receive a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, and for any size gift during the Lenten season, we'll send you a CD with two sermons. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons. Welcome back. For the last 10 minutes of the program on this Tuesday afternoon, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway joins us. We're going to talk about doubt. Now, doubt is a reality in our lives, in every aspect of our lives, even in our spiritual life. Faith is never unsullied by a certain measure of doubt. Even the apostles, after the resurrection, have doubt there as Christ prepares to ascend. But today, doubt has become a virtue elevated above even faith, and especially certainty. Certainty is a sign of arrogance. It's a bad thing nowadays. How did it get to this point? Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a contributor to GetReligion.org and author of a recent column for Christianity Today magazine titled In Praise of Confidence. Molly, welcome back.
Nice to be here.
How did certainty become a bad thing in the Christian vocabulary?
Well, I think it's just the pervasive influence of multiculturalism. You're not allowed to believe in absolute truth. You just have your own personal truth, which may or may not be better than other people's personal truths. And so if you have confidence or if you assert something to be true, that's just considered anathema in our day-to-day age. It just runs completely counter to the current zeitgeist. And it's an overwhelming influence of multiculturalism.
You begin, when you write recently in Christianity Today magazine, talking about some people who were not known for any kind of intellectual or moral vacillation, the likes of William Wilberforce or William Churchill, or Winston Churchill, or Martin Luther King Jr., all men of profound and almost unshakable conviction. Where has that gone?
Well, they were all men who were very confident in the rightness of their cause. They were not men who were riddled with doubt. But it seems, again, that it's just not popular to be this way anymore. And, in fact, there was a study that came out recently that tried to make the claim that that such displays of confidence, like the type that William Wilberforce or Martin Luther King Jr. might have displayed, are actually indications of a lack of confidence. It's just someone trying to seem confident when actually they probably have significant self-doubt.
What does what should inform the Christian mind on the issues of doubt and faith and confidence?
Well, I mean, it's certainly wrong to have an arrogance or a self-righteousness about your approach, but the fact is that our faith is a living, unshakable confidence in God's grace, as Martin Luther wrote. And the Holy Spirit has written things in our hearts that they aren't opinions or doubts, but they are actual assertions, and they are very certain, and our faith is based in actual historical events about which we can be very confident. It doesn't mean, again, that we should be arrogant or self-righteous, but it does mean that we can have confidence.
You quote from last year a pastor, Peter Marty, writing in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's magazine, The Lutheran, ironic title nowadays. He writes, "The opposite of faith isn't doubt, it's certainty." Would Luther himself have agreed?
No, and in fact, it was actually kind of heartening to see the response that Lutheran pastors in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America had to this article. I mean, it was like a love letter to doubt and saying that the really bad people in the church are those who are certain about their faith, and that for too long we've been denying how awesome doubt is and we need to give it more respect. And there was actually a lot of pushback against this article because everyone knew that, you know, from Luther on through all the reformers on down, This is not the way Lutherans approach. It's not the way, you know, Christians approach this issue. It's not saying that you don't have doubts. Doubts exist. It just means that they shouldn't be embraced or celebrated. Again, we have a confident and sure faith. I mean, you read St. Paul's writings throughout the New Testament, and this is a common theme: is to be, that we have reason to be certain and sure. And if we didn't have reason to be certain and sure, then we shouldn't believe it anyway. So it's not like a new issue, even though this is a new issue for us in this current time where people are afraid to assert any absolute truth. This is the same thing that Christians have been dealing with for 2,000 years. And so you see the way the New Testament writers approached it, and they also said that confidence is something that Christians can and should have.
It's part of the problem, failure on the part of those who would extol doubt as a virtue in the church today, that they fail to distinguish between what the source or the ground of true Christian confidence actually is. I mean, arrogance would be having no doubt in one's self, one's own capabilities, one's own conclusions. But is that the ground of true and abiding Christian confidence?
You know, that's a really good point, and I think that that is, in fact, probably the area on which people disagree. If you do think that faith is sort of this personal thing that is all about you, it would be one thing. If you believe that faith has this external object in which you are, in which you have faith, it's a totally different issue. And so the more that Christianity focuses on the self, and the more that Christianity focuses on, you know, personal works and personal faith at the expense of what it is that we worship, I think you have a different view of doubt.
Do you think this is why even in the kind of the softest, fluffiest neighborhoods of American Christianity, I think about guys like Joel Osteen, a guy just completely unwilling to assert anything with confidence, especially when inquired publicly, except that God loves you anyway. That's all the farther he will go. He's confident of nothing with the exception of that. Do you think he has unwittingly drunk as deep of the wells of doubt as those on the liberal side of American Christianity?
I think that they're probably drinking from, you know, a similar well, and I think it's a problem that is pervasive in a lot of churches and a lot of people. And again, I don't mean to act like it's not a universal problem. I mean, I know I have struggled with doubts. Most people have. Even when you think of shortly after the Transfiguration, in which Jesus shone with the glory of his divine nature, he comes upon this father who asks Jesus to heal his son who's afflicted, and Jesus tells him, all things are possible for one who believes. And the father responds, I believe, help my unbelief. And I think this is a common prayer for people, and not acknowledging that this is a problem, which is something that, you know, a lot of people err on the other side of things, can cause just as many problems as embracing that lack of belief or celebrating that lack of belief.
You quote the 16th century reformer Martin Luther, the Holy Spirit is no skeptic, and the things he has written in our hearts are not doubts or opinions, but assertions surer and more certain than sense and life itself. What did Luther mean, Molly? About one minute.
Again, this is the same issue that we're dealing with now with the Martin Marty article, or the Son of Martin Marty article. And it's interesting that he had this debate with Erasmus, who praised doubt and accused Luther of seeking certainty, which he thought was totally uncool at that time, too. And Luther said, to take no pleasure in assertions is not the mark of a Christian heart. Indeed, one must delight in assertions to be a Christian at all. Take away assertion, and you take away Christianity. And so he was just reminding people again of the words of St. Paul, who talked about full assurance, the highest degree of certainty and conviction that we can have. Our faith, again, is based on historical fact. It's not just, you know, it's not, a lot of people like to say, oh, all religions are about the same thing and whatnot. You know, these are real life events and facts, and that is something, you know, we know the work of God. We know it through not doubts or opinions, but again, assertions that we can trust. That's why the New Testament writers put so much stock in eyewitness testimony, and this is one of, you know, one of the things that it helps us with.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a contributor to GetReligion.org and author of a recent column for Christianity Today magazine titled In Praise of Confidence. You can read this column tonight at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Molly, thank you again.
Thank you.
Well, doubts do abound, but the only remedy to doubt is the sure and certain word of God. That's what we're talking about when we talk about assertions. Assertions not that we have made, but assertions that God himself has made in his word. This is why we offer resources like the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, the Faith Alive Student Study Bible. Students of all ages struggle with the doubts that plague us even as Christians. Even in the midst of confidence, there is doubt. And the only remedy for those doubts, the sure and certain Word of God. It's the Faith Alive Student Study Bible. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Faith Alive Student Study Bible for a student that you know between ages 8 and 18. It's appropriate for all those ages. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Do you struggle with doubt? Well, as long as you're looking at yourself, you will. That's, as long as any of us look at ourselves, our own capabilities, our own confidence, our own conclusions, there's no reason there to do anything but doubt. So doubt is real. But where is true confidence found? This is where the Christian, by God's Holy Spirit through His Word, is turned from being bent in upon himself, where there is no confidence whatsoever, but nothing but an abyss of doubt and despair, outside himself to find confidence there, not in himself, but outside himself in Jesus Christ and him alone. Jesus Christ, not of my imagination or of my conclusion, but the Jesus Christ revealed in Holy Scripture, once and for all, there, the firm ground of your confidence, both now and for all eternity. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.